Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
Now for something be with you forever.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome, everybody, to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian, as far as you know. Over there is Luke. Things are happening. Stuff's going on. I'm full of magic and wonder, as always.
Things are going on. Things are happening.
Yeah, I'm adjusting my sound. I was totally peeking out there for a second. I'm peeking in here. Either way, you're peeking in on us in the southern swath of Wisconsin here. I'm in Waukesha on 540 AM. That's WAUK. And also 101 FM, The Shaw. You're also there in Madison at WTTN 1580 AM, as well as 92.7 FM, Devil Radio.
Yeah, and you're always broadcasting this fine program on the Devil Radio app as well. You can download that app wherever apps are purchased on your smart devices.
Yep.
And Brian, listeners can join the show at any time. Share
by the way,
the
app is free. You don't have to purchase our app.
It's true. And wherever you can purchase other apps, it's a free app, but you go there to find the app and you download it.
And you can be a part of this fine program by calling 844-967-2789. If you text and you're clever, maybe you even join it there.
Yeah, that's true. We do like the clever texters, for sure.
Yeah, not the unclever texters who change the subject at any pushback whatsoever.
I think I know who you're talking about. But, Brian, let's dive into
the headlines.
There's
at least four or five of them that do that.
True.
Anyway,
true.
Let's talk about the headlines, the joyous headlines coming down from the Supreme Court, the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Wisconsin Supreme Court, yeah. Let's
clarify
that. The last couple days we've been lamenting the U.S. Supreme Court, but we found out earlier this week, Brian, that there was going to be a decision coming down today. So this isn't a huge shocker. We knew it was coming in the Fred Prenz saga. I think everybody that listens to this show on a regular basis knows who Fred Prenz is.
But let's enlighten very quickly.
Right. If you're not familiar with who Frederick Prenz is.
What kind of a jerk this guy is.
I want to tell you that I envy you because I wish I didn't have to know Frederick Prenz's name. Like, that would be great. The fact that I have had to learn this guy's name and keep up with what he's been doing in the state.
He's not a very civic-minded guy.
No. He's very much like, I'm going to do what I want to do, and there's nothing you can really do to stop it. Very much of that mindset, Brian.
He's
taking advantage of the rules. You know, like, have you ever played a board game with somebody, and they like, try to do something that's not specifically, like, laid out in the rules that you can't do, but everybody playing the game kind of knows it's wrong? Like,
yes, I know exactly that.
Those are the worst kind of people to play board games.
It's like the person that, I don't know, at the end of a fantasy baseball season, on the day of the last day of the championship season, when I'm up by X amount of points, about 70 points or so, all I need to do is pick up a pitcher or two that day just to go and stream him in and get enough points or whatever. And he basically picked up and dropped every pitcher available.
So that none of them, because
that puts them on waivers, which means they're not available to be used.
After the claims.
Which you can't necessarily not do that, but everybody agreed, wow, what a D-bag move.
Yes, essentially that, because this guy has overstayed his welcome on the Natural Resources Board. So the Wisconsin Natural Resources Board, Brian, appointees are appointed for 6-year terms. So that way it goes beyond a governor's term. They're appointed by the governor, but it's the policy board for the Department of Natural Resources. So it sets environmental policies here in the state of Wisconsin. And an appointee from former Governor Walker, who lost in 2018, his term was up. Frederick Prenz's term was up on May 1st of 2021. And so Evers,
just over a year ago,
just more than about we're coming up on 14 months now. It'll be 14 months on Friday, and Evers in April of 2021 appointed Sandra Nass to that position on the Natural Resources Board. So since April of 2021, the Evers administration has been waiting for the state Senate to confirm his appointment to fill the new term, because Fred Prent's term was over. It was done. He was no longer supposed to be appointed to the Wisconsin Natural Resources Board anymore.
And it's not like they're doing anything else.
No, and I mean, literally the state Senate has a wide open calendar. They could go in and appoint, or they could approve Evers' appointment at any time. They're
or
choosing
they could
not
spend
to.
The next 5 months going through every single bit of data for Sandra Nass. So
and voting her down, yeah.
And voting her down. But either way, they aren't even bothering to do that. They're just taking their ball and going home.
They're
literally
not. And literally, Fred Prent coordinated this effort. Fred Prent, there have been text messages through open records lawsuits that have found out that Frederick Prent coordinated with members of the state Senate Majority Leader's office, Devin LeMahieu's office staff, talked to Fred Prent about this. Lobbyists from the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the state's largest business lobby, also pretty conservative-leaning business lobby here in the state of Wisconsin, coordinated with Fred Prent to do this. He texted the former governor Scott Walker, and Fred Prent texted back and forth about Fred Prent overstaying his welcome on the board. They found a 1964 Supreme Court decision here in Wisconsin that ruled, well, unless the successor is confirmed by the state Senate, a political appointee can continue serving in that term until their replacement is confirmed. That's what the 1964 quote-unquote precedent was in this case.
Which is why they ruled in this way.
Right, today, because that was on the books. That is what. But the Wisconsin Supreme Court has now gone and green-lighted just any political appointee in the state of Wisconsin overstaying their welcome if they have the backing of the state Senate, which Republicans have. It's a pretty gerrymandered body, the state Senate is. And so if Devin LeMahieu doesn't want to confirm a replacement, Republicans now can spend indefinite terms. There's no longer a term limit for Republican appointees in the state of Wisconsin. Fred Prent has just shown that if you're appointed by a Republican, and rather than have a Democratic governor, or I'm trying to think of any other body that would appoint this, but it would only be the governor. Rather than have a Democratic governor appoint your replacement, you can just indefinitely suspend your term limit, and as long as you don't resign from the position, it's yours. You have
forever,
it.
Forever.
And that is what Fred Prent is doing right now on the Wisconsin Natural Resources Board. He is staying indefinitely despite his term ending May 1st of last year. He's been green-lighted by the state Senate that there's no replacement vote coming. There's
what
no successor that will be approved by the state Senate.
Spiteful, cynical jerks.
Yeah.
That's all you can like. And I'm not necessarily blaming the Supreme Court. This again, we continually complain that the Wisconsin Supreme Court is ruling against us or for us and things. And honestly, they're just trying to interpret the law as with the ridiculous crap that comes before them. Most of this stuff should be taken care of by the legislature. The legislature should be confirming or showing without beyond a reasonable doubt why they're denying the appointment. Put your name on it.
Well, the Republican Supreme Court, the conservative justices on the Supreme Court are effectively greenlighting it, though. I understand that there is a 1964 precedent on there, but the fact that you're going to hear all of the different aspects of the case, the fact that it was a coordinated effort, that alone, Brian, shows that they're not acting in good faith.
Well, of course they're not acting in good faith. They never have. It's showing beyond a reasonable doubt that they're not acting in good faith. I'm not entirely sure that there's anything criminal going on there. It's not necessarily against the laws, is it? I mean, is coordinating that type of takeover of the DNR, is that against the law? I mean, again, the Supreme Court can only uphold the laws that are actually written. And my point is that the legislature has been broken. And if this was a functioning legislature, if this was a functioning state, and again, they're mirroring what is happening in what has happened over the last decade or so, what happened with Merrick Garland. didn't even get a hearing.
Well, and that's the thing is Sandra Nass is not the only Evers appointee that has not been confirmed.
Yeah, there's several of them.
We still don't have, like, we are 2.5 years into the COVID-19 pandemic, and there's only an acting secretary for the Department of Health Services here in Wisconsin.
And they'll blame Tony Evers, but it is the legislature that refuses to.
Yes.
Again, they complain all the time, these disingenuous, spiteful bastard Republicans continue to go and blame Tony Evers for not having things in place when they are actually stopping him from doing the thing that they're complaining about.
And they complain that the governor's not working with them despite him trying to. He's appointed to them. That is his role in the process. He's appointed to them. The state Senate is supposed to confirm. That is the next step. And the state Senate is just not doing anything from March 1st through the end of this year. They are not going to come back into session until 2023. And that just shows the disdain that Republican lawmakers have for the voters in Wisconsin. Because in 2018, Brian, no Republican official won statewide office. At every single level of the statewide offices, all of them were voted to be Democrats. Wisconsin voters sent Democrats at every single statewide office in 2018. And since then, Republicans have just been like, well, we're going to ignore those results. Because Democrats didn't get to take over the legislature with the fact that they had, I want to say, more than 52. It was almost like 54% of the vote share, I believe, was for Democratic candidates in the state assembly and Senate. But still, because of the gerrymandering, they didn't get those offices. They did get the governorship, the lieutenant governorship, the attorney general, the state treasurer, and the secretary of state. And since 2018... Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu have just, well, and Scott Fitzgerald to a point as well, but they've just said, well, I don't really care what Wisconsin voters say. We're not going to give the governor his appointees anymore. That's just not how it works when there's a Democrat in that office.
Coming up later in the show, you're going to hear one of the most disingenuous things I've ever heard Robin Voss say, and it's related to this. And it's, I mean, the guy has said so many stupid things and so many disingenuous, crappy things and spiteful things. This one may take the cake for me.
Yeah, he gets mad at Governor Evers and Attorney General Josh Call for a lawsuit that they're filing. That we're going to talk about, filed yesterday in court here in Wisconsin. But we got a number of other headlines in Wisconsin that we're going to get to, as well as your phone calls. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian. It's a Wednesday edition of Dueling Tangents, and we'll be right back.
You're all getting Rickrolled.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke, and over there's Brian. You never fail to deliver, Brian, because
sometimes
I was like, we need a song about, you know, exactly this. That back door. You're looking for a back door exit, because that's what the senior senator from Wisconsin was doing last night, Brian.
The brave senior senator who stands by the courage of his convictions.
Well, he's afraid of journalists right now. He's been having a pretty bad week when it comes to, you know, talking to the press. He's been not able to get his story straight, and he keeps
brave Sir
Rojo.
Sir Rojo.
But we're talking about U.S. Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. He had a campaign event yesterday, Brian, in the Milwaukee area. And rather than talk to reporters...
A campaign event where he should be proud of the things he's doing so that he can run.
Where he's asking Wisconsinites
public,
for his vote.
In public, to be a public figure to represent the public.
Correct. Okay. And so he was at that event, and rather than take questions from the reporters and journalists at the event, he decided to shimmy out the back door. He said, okay, I'm going to beeline it for that way. Got into his car and literally just drove off as fast as he possibly could. He was being confronted.
What a weak person.
Well, he obviously doesn't want to, you know, even he's not even using the shield of his talking points, Brian, anymore.
I want to represent you. That's why I can't bear to even talk to you.
Please
or
vote
even
for me, and then boom, right out the back door. And
I believe so strongly in this that I'm never going to defend it.
Not that it's an illegitimate committee, the U.S. House Select Committee on January 6th. Not that it's a whatever he wants to refer to it as. He's not even saying it's a non-story anymore, Brian. He's just running away from the press. He doesn't want to answer questions about his.
Is it because he doesn't trust them, or because he doesn't trust himself? Because twice we've already seen him telling on himself.
Well, yeah, it went from an unnamed intern to his new chief of staff. That, you know, it was his first day on the job.
Oh, first day on the job. It was the White House that did this.
And then later when he was confronted in the airport, saying, "Well, I played maybe like a 2-minute role in delivering the fraudulent slate of electors. What's the big deal? It was only like 2 minutes. Come on."
Yeah, nothing could happen in 2 minutes.
Nothing. Nothing
change the course of anything.
Yes. So U.S. Senator Ron Johnson just running out the back door of his campaign event yesterday.
Are you guys proud of this guy? Are you proud of him? Are you proud of him representing you? Thank goodness for Ron Johnson. What a proud guy standing up to. He can't even stand up to reporters who will do nothing but ask him questions.
No.
And if his if you believe so strongly in what he's saying, wouldn't you be proud to go and, "Oh, I have a microphone here. This is great." A politician that runs away from a microphone. Let me remind you again. A politician running away from a microphone. You're going to broadcast my words to the world? Well, this is great. I have several messages that I have lined up. He can't even go talking points out there.
No.
He doesn't trust it. Either he doesn't trust himself, or he's too afraid to do it, in which case he probably isn't fit to serve. Again, no matter which angle you look at this, you shouldn't vote for him unless you're a spiteful bastard, pretty much.
But, Brian, hear me out. Maybe his silence was like the legal advice of somebody that's, you know, trying to represent him now. Maybe he got word from the lawyers that, sir, you should probably just keep your mouth
shut.
You're really bad in public. These last couple of appearances with the press haven't gone so well, so maybe you should avoid those. Maybe he's being advised to not talk anymore about his involvement on January 6th because, who knows, there could be some criminal liability there.
They don't trust him not to say anything stupid. You know who says something intelligent instead is Mark from the SAC. What do you think? what do you think about this situation?
What's going on,
Mark,
today, Mark?
Oh, God. It's just the whole bunch. Make Fred Prynne and all his little allies drink the most contaminated water you can find in Wisconsin.
It's the best Kool-Aid, though, I'll tell you that.
Whatever, I mean, and run campaigns in those Republican districts as Republicans want you to drink poisoned water. And as far as Ron Johnson goes, the man is obvious. He wouldn't be running away like that unless he was guilty, 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 guilty. And when you tell the truth the first time, you don't need to worry about what story you told the last time because you've told the truth.
That's why I don't lie, buddy.
From what I heard the cock-a-doodle-doo during the break.
Cock-a-doodle-doo!
But it just amazes me that people think these guys have any kind of integrity at all. I mean, it's just remarkable that.
Well, that's the thing, Mark. I don't think they do.
And I don't think they care.
And go ahead, Mark.
I just have this image in my head of this old history book with a picture of from Revolutionary Times of the tea act where they're pouring tea down the tea tax collector's mouth into his mouth, and the guy had been feathered already, and that and they're going to take further action on him. That but I just think that these guys need, you know, that Ron Johnson, that Josh Call needs to say enough of this BS. Ron Johnson's obviously trying to hide some kind of criminal activity there. He must think there's criminal activity here, so I'm going to go for it and let the courts decide whether it's criminal or not. Hang their asses out to dry and make them pay. I mean,
hey, Mark, the only time that their asses will be hung out to dry and made to pay is when they say Trump lost the election, Biden won. Oh, also, I'm retiring.
Yep.
That's how they do it. If you disagree with the orange one or whoever happens to be the giant dinosaur or whatever the minions really like at that time, that's whatever goes. And if you disagree with that person, well, you don't want to get stomped on by the giant dinosaur that is the person who runs the GOP at any given time. So like a coward, you run away out the back door.
And that's not just Brian's word for that. That's the most popular governor in the entire country, Charlie Baker out in Massachusetts. Not running for re-election because he can't even win a primary in the Republican Party anymore. Most popular governor in the nation. It's not just here in Wisconsin, Brian. That's just par for the course now. If they admit to those things, they got to hit the road and retire.
Well, if you admit to reality, you're going to have to change. And you know what? Who doesn't like to change at all? Anything? Conservatives.
Well, and Fred Pretten, because he doesn't have to anymore. He's got an indefinite term. And we're
forever.
Forever. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back.
Get a great effing criminal defense lawyer. You're going to need it.
It's always time for a little Temple of the Dog here.
Yeah.
Welcome, everybody. It's Julie Tanger with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian. Right over there is Luke. We are coming to you on the southern swath of Wisconsin. I'm over here in Waukesha at 540 AM WAUK, as well as 101 FM The Shaw. And you're listening to Luke over there on WTTN 1580 AM. That's in the Solidarity Realty Studios and also on Devil Radio 92.7 FM. Check us out on the Devil Radio app. And check us out at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY to join the political party here. Let us know what you think. We're going to move on to pushing forward back. I just wanted to tell you.
Pushing forward back.
Yeah. That's the name of this song, Pushing Forward Back. That's
Forward, you know, the state motto of Wisconsin.
We pushing are forward back. Forward. Welcome to conservative land. Yeah. Do you want to be the folks in the right lane going super slow, or do you want to be people in the left lane going a little bit over the speed limit and maybe getting to where you want to go? Do you want to be the people who have, you know, maybe just one sip of a drink and then that's, you know, feel a little bit and then go home and then, you know, organize your knives and spoons and then go to sleep? Or do you want to, you know, be the person that has a couple more than that and goes and enjoy yourself like a regular human being? My point is that conservatism is all about staying and not changing. And, you know, I'm all about changing because, again, the only constant in the entire world, in the entire universe, is change.
And taxes.
No, that changes too.
Some people just skirt their taxes now. So that's
there
true.
Have been places, and there are places now. There are no taxes. I'm assuming.
Mars? That's the other one. Death and taxes. There we
death,
go.
Those are the two certainties. Yeah.
Change and gotcha. Death then. All right.
You know, and again, if we get taken over by the white Christian nationalists, the good thing is that we don't have to die. So that's important. We'll legislate what happens in heaven as well. Next thing you know, we'll be selling indulgences, and that will be bringing us back. Again, that's ultra-conservatism there, when you can go and push us back towards, you know, the centuries before. Let's go Opus Dei. Hooray. But I want to let you know that the kids aren't really excited about this whole Roe v. Wade thing.
No, there was an interesting thing right outside your window.
We're sitting here 5 minutes before the show, and I'm like, I got to go. And just leave.
I was like, what are you doing? We're prepping for a show here, man. Come on.
Great job. I left my phone down. I just went outside. There were about 100 kids.
50 to 100?
Yeah, 50 to 100, you say. Walking down the street with signs, chanting and things like that. There were signs that had a lot of things I can't repeat. But they were saying things like, ain't no time to celebrate, separate the church and state. They were not happy about it. I mean, there were some older folks.
And Brian, let's let everybody know that you are broadcasting live from downtown Waukesha.
Yeah.
Waukesha, Wisconsin. That is where you are broadcasting live from. And about anywhere from 50 to 100 high school age.
At least high school age, if not older.
Okay. High school or college age.
That's what they look like. I can't confirm. I didn't get a run across the street. There was traffic and everybody. I was also kind of caught up in the moment. It was one of those like,
oh, that's happening right now.
Oh, when people get inspired so much to go and do that type of stuff, that really moved me. And it was one of those things that if you are, you know, borderline supportive or even remotely, like, that's the kind of thing that makes you go, yeah, there's going to be a lot more of this going on, especially going towards the elections. But I think it was great. I got to see a bunch of kids march, and all the power to you, kids.
There you go, Ben. And so on that, in that vein, we're going to talk a little bit about a lawsuit that was filed yesterday by the Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call, with support from Governor Tony Evers, trying to clarify, Brian, because one of the things that Friday's decision kind of sets off from the U.S. Supreme Court is it sent it back to the state courts, or the state legislature in the states. So, like, everything is now going to be fought. There's going to be 50 separate battles, 51 if you want to count D.C. I don't know how the territories of the U.S. deal with this, but there's going to be 51 different handlings of how abortion is now considered legal or illegal in a state.
Again, you don't have to answer this right now, but I keep going back to this. How is enforcement going to work? There's an open-ended question.
Prosecutors will pick and choose. Prosecutors will pick and choose who they want to, you know, try to hold criminally liable for these things now, Brian. That's how it's going to work. It's going to be a patchwork. And one of the questions is, all right, well, Wisconsin has an 1849 law on the books that is almost a complete ban on abortion. But since then, since 1849, again, that's right when we became a state, Brian. That is the year after Wisconsin joined the Union.
That's a long time ago. Also, mm-hmm. were women also considered
70
people?
Years before they could vote, and essentially they were just considered to be
second-class citizens.
Yeah. Didn't have the right to vote. They were subject to the whims of their husbands.
Which you know, I mean, at least at the time, by being a second-class citizen, they couldn't possibly be held accountable because they were pretty much property. So, again, it was the people that handled their property that they would go after, the doctors.
Right, the physicians that would perform the abortions in 1849 were the ones held criminally liable. It was the legal language here in the state of Wisconsin, if we're going to go back to the 1849 law, isn't criminalizing it for to be done, or they're not criminalizing the woman like in Texas, where they're trying to put bounties out and saying that if you get an abortion after 6 weeks that you could be criminally held liable there. It's holding criminal liability for physicians, as far as we can tell. But this is a confusing subject, Brian, because it's 170 some years old and people are questioning, well, what happens about all the other abortion laws that were passed in Wisconsin
according to conservatives, there's been no advances in medicine since then either.
Well, I don't know if that every single conservative takes that approach, but that seems what they're...
They call us libtards. They call us this and that. I'm lumping them all together because if you're still voting for them, I don't. At this point, you're not Republican anymore. They're not the Republican Party anymore. I'm sorry. Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah, so the lawsuit filed by Attorney General Josh Call yesterday is trying to clarify the different abortion laws that have been passed in Wisconsin since we became a state as well.
Wait, there's been abortion laws passed in the state since?
Yeah, so while and I'm going to be reading from a piece here over at the State Journal, written by Alexander Scher. And the piece is headlined, Brian, Wisconsin AG Josh Call files lawsuit challenging near-complete abortion ban passed in 1849. Reading from the piece, while the 1849 law bans abortions from the time of conception unless it's necessary to save the mother's life, a subsequent law enacted in 1985, years after the U.S. Supreme Court declared abortion a constitutional right, only bans abortion after fetal viability and includes an exception for saving a mother's life or health. Fetal viability is 24 weeks, to let everybody in the listening audience know. If that's what you are going off of, fetal viability, doctors see that at 24 weeks, which was, I believe, I'm not a legal scholar and I'm not an expert in the Roe v. Wade court decision. And it was something that was taken for granted, I think, by a lot of progressive-minded people, that's just what the precedent was. And I believe Roe v. Wade had for 24 weeks, up to 24 weeks, a woman had the right to an abortion as health care. And so that 1985 law, Brian, Josh Call, the Attorney General of Wisconsin, essentially says that it directly contradicts the 1849 law. So... Yeah. He's trying to get some clarity. Both of those laws are on the books, and the Attorney General for the state of Wisconsin doesn't know which one. It could be either one or the other.
Now, who put forth?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, who put forth that rule? Who put forth
so
that
law? So the 85 law, I don't know who was passed by that, but it's important also to know that there have been subsequent from that 1985 law in 2000. In 2015, I believe, then Governor Scott Walker and the Republican legislature passed a 20-week abortion ban. So you couldn't get an abortion after 20 weeks.
So
4 weeks
that
sooner
may push
than the 1985.
Back. Okay.
So there is a question now of which abortion laws are going to be on the books, because the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade is sending confusion to the states.
See, that's interesting, because all the reporting up until now has been that it goes right back to the 1849 law no matter what happens.
1849,
sorry. Again, either way, it's still before the other two laws that we're talking about, the other two things. Again, 2015, that was the Walker administration. So, again, Call is asking them to, you know, could you, you know, maybe go by the law that you passed?
Essentially, Call's saying, hey, we're looking for some clarity. And so, continuing on the piece, while there is no legal consensus on whether the 1849 law is still in effect, the threat of prosecution under the law led Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin to halt abortions in the state after the Supreme Court tossed out the protections guaranteed under Roe.
And by the way, side note, if you are in need of going camping, as it were, if you are in need of abortive services, things like that, still contact Planned Parenthood. They can direct you to how to get that taken care of in a legal and safe way that doesn't also put you at jeopardy for being prosecuted.
Yeah. Yeah. There are, I believe, 13 states around the nation that still...
We at least border one of them.
Yes, I believe two. I don't know what Governor Tim Walz is doing actually in Minnesota, but that's the problem, Brian. It is so questionable. So you definitely have to ask the experts about it, because
I wonder if they're going to put that designation on maps if it keeps that way. Like, you know, you go to a map and then it, you know, has a little designation at the bottom corner.
It'll be interesting to see. I have no conservative maps would include that though, Brian, because
they don't believe in maps. So if you don't know how to go down to the old. What used to be the old library would then take a right there on the street that isn't marked. If you don't know that's Main Street, you're obviously not from here and you shouldn't be here. That's honestly another side tangent, but Wisconsin is one of the, at least the Milwaukee area, is one of the most poorly marked and labeled street areas in the entire country that I've ever been to. There's stuff that's just not even, like, there's no street sign.
Yeah,
I don't even know what street
it is.
It's
pretty bad. It's just
or
yeah.
It's like, go that way.
I'll give you that.
Go that way, and then you go down that way, and there's no more signs, other than you're in an alley.
Or the road will change names like halfway down it as well. And that's my one of my.
And there's no update there.
There's no update.
And you try and figure out what road you're on. Good luck with that.
Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. That we just went down a little bit of a tangent there, but you can.
Yeah, but again, it speaks to you know why we need good governance. You need to actually have a functioning road system. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. Wouldn't it be better to know which road you're on?
Yeah, that would be great. But if you want to join the conversation, share your tangent with us, you can join the conversation. 844-967-2789. You can be like our friend Jack from Merrimack calling in. Jack, what's on your mind this afternoon?
Good afternoon. I'm going to take a bit of exception to what Brian says, and I'm going to make a point that actually on Saturday, James Santel also made in his show, which is language really does matter. These people, first of all, are not conservative. They are reactionaries. That's somebody that's trying to politically drive the entire country, in this case, Wisconsin being foremost in this situation, trying to drive us all into the past. But worse than that, they're doing exactly the same kind of things that fascists do all over the world, which is setting up their own court system and stacking the courts. They're refusing to step down from office when they've clearly been voted out. And, of course, they're stacking the elections in such a way that they cannot possibly lose. So these guys are no conservatives, not the modern Republican Party. And this is the biggest problem we've got and from a national basis. Public seems to think that almost anything that's happening is the fault of the Democrats. The Republicans have done a great job of selling the people on that. And in fact, for instance, the price of gas, is a supply and demand issue. And that goes back to, I believe it was early 2020 when Trump negotiated with Bin Salman of Saudi Arabia and Putin of Russia to cut production by a total of 9.8 million barrels a day, which is about half what the
we are producing more need. Oil now than we ever have in the entire history of us
for the United States, and there's just not enough oil being produced by the other nations, and the OPEC nations are refusing to do it because they liked when there was not actually, you know, a global cop in the United States that was competent and had foreign policy that kept them in check when it came to human rights and things of that nature. But we appreciate your call, Jack. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Got one more segment left in the day. Give us a call. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian. You're listening to us on Devil Radio 92.7 FM here in Madison. I'm holding down the fort in the Solidarity Realty Studios, as well as on the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM out of Waukesha. Are you lingering, Brian?
That's just the Cranberries.
Just a little Cranberries tribute band?
Yeah, this one goes out to Fred Pratt. Do you have to let it linger?
Do you have to?
Do you have to let it linger? Dude, just go do something else, like literally anything else. Like what is so important that could be?
Oh, you want to know what Fred Pren's going to probably line up after this, Brian? It's probably going to be some kind of cushy lobbyist job for all the hard work that he's doing to, you know, prevent any strict votes on PFAS contamination, on whether or not the hunters from out of state can come in and kill a bunch of gray wolves in the state.
That'll have no economic impact or environmental impact whatsoever.
None whatsoever. So that's what he's got. He's got, I believe he's a dentist from the Wausau region. So I don't know how much interest he actually has in a lobbyist position, but there'll probably be that one for him.
If everybody up north has crappy water and then they rot their teeth out, that's good for him. You know, he's the one in five dentists that don't think you
recommend?
Should. Oh, no, don't brush your teeth at all. Just keep coming to me. No, I'll take care of it. It's fine. No, I'll charge you a little bit less than normal. That's fine. The volume here. We'll make it up on volume. It's fine. So with this, basically the way that the Republicans have treated who have been in power. Okay.
Yeah. Republican lawmakers and decision makers. We're not talking about Republican voters here. We're not.
Well, at this point, they're supporting it, so just be aware that you're supporting this.
Correct, but I want to differentiate between the two because I think that's important. The Republican, the mindset the Republican lawmakers and decision makers have is what we're about to dive into is leading to these consequences. Because
yes,
there are Republican public sector employees, which we're going to talk about, that aren't those lawmakers and elected officials.
I want to go back to that Voss quote before we move forward.
Oh, there's a Voss quote in regards to the filing of the lawsuit by Attorney General Josh Call and Tony Evers.
This perfectly highlights what the situations that are leading to what we're going to talk about. So let's go.
All right, hang on. Yeah, ad lib a little bit, Brian. I got to pull up the quote because I started pulling up our next story.
So. No, I got you. So basically, Robin Voss is sitting there and he's Call and Evers, like we said, were trying to figure out which of these laws that, you know, Republicans had passed to go and basically mitigate the Roe v. Wade decision, the first one where abortion became legal, where and Robin Voss is complaining.
Has a little bit of a different mindset on it. So this is the quote.
A different take. It is just the most disingenuous piece of crap statement I've ever heard from a person who clearly assumes that his voters are either so loyal or so stupid that they can't see what is actually happening.
Yeah, and this is now from a piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel written by Molly Beck. And so diving down into the body of the piece, this is Assembly Speaker Robin Voss's reaction to the lawsuit filed by Attorney General Call and Governor Evers. Quote, "Once again, we will do Attorney General Call's job and vigorously defend the law. It's sad that Evers and Call want to break the law instead of work with the legislature, Voss said.
Are you effing kidding me? One, they are trying to interpret what the law you're actually trying to go and enforce is before they enforce it. And number two, Evers literally, this month, not even like a week or two ago.
Last Wednesday,
asked them to go in and have a legislative session to clarify this exact point. And you know what this smug SOB did? He gaveled in and gaveled out for spite, and he did nothing about it, and he turned around a week later and is now blaming freaking Tony Evers for the stuff he refused to freaking do.
Yeah, that's that. You hit it right on the head, Brian.
What a piece of crap.
That is 100% what the Assembly Speaker did, because he is now trying to say that the legislature is going to go. And folks, this is going to go on top of the $12 million in private attorneys that the legislature is going to hire since 2019 when Evers was sworn in as governor. This is going to go on top of that if the Republican legislature wants to go and try to argue in court that it has to be the 1849 law rather than any of the other subsequent laws on abortion that have been passed in the state of Wisconsin since then. Including
Vote for and support these people, you are either stupid and uninformed, or you're so loyal and culty it's too far gone. That's it.
I think there's a little wiggle room in there,
no,
too. But
I'm done.
You're coming down on a hard line on this one.
This is
man.
Crap. I'm like, a week ago, you had a chance to go and do something. You were specifically asked, and you said, and you have the nerve to go and say, Evers wouldn't work with the legislature. You had a chance. He literally told you to do it. He asked you to do it.
I don't know if he was there. It was, I believe, in the Assembly, Rep. Tyler August, I believe, was the one that gaveled in and gaveled out. So the Assembly
smug bastard couldn't
even
be bothered to do his own freaking job. And he has to bother a week later to go and complain. Once again, the legislature has to do Colin Evers' job. Shut up.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss wrapped up the show for the State Assembly at the end of February, 4 months ago, Brian. We're going to be going on the fifth month now. And he's got the gall to say that it's Tony Evers and Josh Call that aren't doing their jobs.
What? I don't know what else to tell you, people. I don't know what else to tell you, people. This is he's blatantly not doing his job and then blaming it on Evers.
Yeah. After Evers called for the special session to have them address this.
I'm not trying to like have a different point of view on this. This is literally what he did.
We are literally just describing the timeline of how it is unfolding, Brian. That is all it is. It is a joke that the Assembly Speaker believes that is the approach that he can take, because I think it goes back to the Fred Prehn thing, where it's disdain for voters of Wisconsin. They do not care. The Assembly
they
Speaker
don't think
Robin
you're
Voss
smart enough to actually see what they're doing.
Does not care.
Or you're either that or you're too busy.
He has
to
insulated
care.
Himself into a gerrymandered map where he believes he operates beyond consequences. He believes that he can linger in this mindset. That he can do whatever he wants. He can make up the fabric. He can fabricate reality, Brian, and say that it's Evers and Call that are not doing. Mind you, Evers' quote on it was, we're doing this now because time is of the essence. We need to figure out what Wisconsin's laws are on abortion now. We can't wait until next spring after there's a new Supreme Court potentially. He's
Voss
saying we got to do it now.
Voss and friends had a chance to clarify it and they didn't. By the way, since we only have 40 seconds left, I want to read this headline. Public sector employment is at its lowest in two decades, according to Wisconsin Policy Forum. In a time when there's the lowest unemployment levels ever, public sector employment is at its lowest in two decades. I wonder why that is. Why wouldn't you want to work for the state right now?
And could it be the fact that, you know, state funding laws are really hamstringing municipalities? And again, the legislature's just on a 10-month vacation. They don't want to address it.
They're too busy spending money. You're wasting your money on stupid lawsuits.
$3.8 billion, I believe, in surplus. $3.8 billion in the surplus, but they won't send it back to us. Folks, this has been Dueling Tangents. Devil's Advocates are coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow. Talk to you then.
Forever. Forever. Forever.